Okay, today's daf is Baba Kama Tzad Gimel. We're going to finish the 8th parak and start the 9th. Long last back to learning together. Okay, the Tzadi Bet Ava Bet had a whole list of questions that Rava asked Rava Bar Meiri. Where do we get this concept from? So we're going to finish up that list and then go back to one of the earlier ones on the list. Okay, so we'll start at the very bottom of Tzadi Bet Ava Bet. Amalei Rava la Rava Bar Meiri, Minah Hamilta Damre Inche, Kad Havian Zutre Lagavre, Hashadik Shishina Lidardike. When someone's younger than their Kadavina Zutre, like their, is it stronger? I'm trying to remember. It's, right, they were Hashuvim, Rashi says, Kigavre. That is, when you're younger, you're very important. And when you get older, then you become like a Dardike, like a young child. So Amalei, now, this could mean all sorts of things. They're going to take it to mean that you get treated better by God, it's going to be, when you're younger. And then as you get older, less so. So, Amar Leim, Ikar Ktiv Hashem Holech Lefnehem Yomam, Ba'amud Anan Lankhotam Aderech, Belaila Ba'amud Eish Lahair Lahem. So first Hashem went with them, with Bnei Yisrael, when they were younger. Right here, it's going to be interesting because the difference between them being younger and older is going to be very minor. Okay, it's not going to be a lot of time difference here. But in the beginning, God went with them himself. So in other words, you got treated like a gavre. And Levasof, which is also not necessarily because they got older, it was after Chet HaEgel. What happened? K'tiv hine anochi shalech malach lefanecha l'shamarcha baderech. We're going to see not just with this one, but the some of the other proofs also, that the proofs don't exactly match up. If you try to compare them exactly, right, this isn't exactly young and old. This is before the sin, after the sin, and it's not a big time lapse. But, again, it's the way of the rabbis to kind of take a concept and connect it to a pasuk, because it's always better if you can prove it from a pasuk. It's not that it's really learned out from here. Okay, so then God only had a malach guiding Bnei Israel. So here, as they got older, they got treated less, with less importance by God. Which also, the whole concept here is, you know, in general, we treat Zkenim with more kavod, so it's a little reversed.
Or we're supposed to.
Right. Or we're supposed to. Right, so again, you know, again, you could maybe compare it not exactly to Na'arut, but, you know, there's people in their prime, and then as they get older, sometimes people give them less respect and less credibility as they get older because they start to get older and people don't respect them as much. You know, maybe not always things aren't functioning as well. You know, there's issues. But,
and also,
yeah.
Maybe they don't need as much help. When they're little, they need a lot of...
Right. So what Judy's pointing out is very interesting is that what we're discussing here is God guiding them. And in a sense, they need less guidance. Except that the sentence said a little bit derogatory. They're like Dardike, right? We all kind of go back to thinking about when people get older and then certain things revert back to when they were younger, you know, in terms of their need for, they definitely become dependent on other people. Anyway, you can take this to lots of places.
Okay. Rambam points out that it didn't hold anyway. Moses, you know, Moshe didn't like that. He asked Hashem to come back himself and send an angel away, and he didn't.
Right.
So, really didn't
right, so it didn't even hold. Okay, right. So again, these proofs, we're going to see also later, there's some problems with them. Amar le Rava le Rava Bar Meiri. Next question. Menah hamil de damri inche, batar meri nichse, tzivi mashach. Okay, after Mare is a baal, like an owner, after someone who owns nichasim, someone who's wealthy, tzivi mashach. Okay, so you really have to read the sentence the opposite. If you should drag wood, okay, that's tzivi is wood, mashach is to pull, to drag. You should drag wood in front of a baal nechasim, in front of someone who has money, okay, who has means. So now there's two ways to read this. Either which way, what it means is, if you do this act, it will be good for you. So some people say if you drag wood, in other words, if you... some people say it just means if you associate with a wealthy person, and even just to drag his wood, in other words, opposed to, let's say, investing with him, right? But you, let's say, just even do a small job for him and you drag his wood, that will be good for you. Some people say, no, Dafka, if you help out a wealthy person, in other words, you drag their wood for them and you get involved with them, right? One looks at it as not so involved and the other looks at it as very involved. By dragging his wood, two different interpretations, things will be good for you. So where do we see this? You can, and then you can tell me why, which you think works better with the proof text. Amarle dichti begam lilo taholechet Avram hayat sonu bakar voalim. In other words, right? Lot went with Avram and because, right, notice the pasuk says, not this gam lilot hayatzonu bakar voalim. Not only did he have, but it was saying, Lot that walked with Avraham, he was, because of that, he had wealth. That's how they darsh in the pasuk. So, according to this, it seems much better with which one? If you associate with someone, right? Because Lot didn't exactly work for Avram in a major way. So it would make more sense to say the associate. Of course, the one who says otherwise, we'll say again, the proof text is not the most perfect proof text. It's just kind of giving us some sort of
And there was a familial
hint
involvement
in the pasuk.
So you have to assume there's more involvement. It wasn't working for him, but it wasn't just sort of hanging out.
I guess. But it's not so clear from the text that Lot really did a lot of work for Avram. But
no,
maybe. Right, but that's what... Right, they were connected. Yafeh. Okay. Amar Rav Chanan. Hamosir din al chavero, hu ne'enash tchila. Okay, this is a very interesting one. If you take your judgment straight to God, okay, you have a problem with someone and you take it straight to God, you get punished first. Okay? Right. And then, so in other words... This is, you tell your kids all the time, right? Don't start complaining about what he did. In other words, if you start complaining, you're the one who in the end is going to get in trouble first. How do we see this? Shenemar, Vatomer Sarai al Avram, Chamasi alecha, right? I'm very upset with you. She starts bringing up his issue, her issue with him. This is with Hagar. And then, Uchti vayavo Avraham, lispod l'sarau livkota. Okay, what happens? She dies first. And they say that's because she, said, I'm annoyed with you. What are you doing to me? V'hane mile, but now comes the caveat, and it says, di'it le dina ba'ara. Okay, this is if there's, 1 second, let me just, right, if there's a, 1 second, I think, wait a minute. If I'm jumping to something that we do later. Right. It's only if he has an opportunity. In other words, what they're saying is don't bring someone to court. You can bring someone to court. If there's a court, bring someone to court. But if there's a court and you bring them straight to God, like she did, remember what Sarai said? Yishpot Hashem b'ni u'b'necha. Remember, God's going to judge between us. So she brought her issue straight to God instead of going to a regular Beit Din. Now, what's the obvious problem with this? What kind of Beit Din was there in the day of Sarah, right? So the Mepharshim said, there was Shem Be'Aver, right? There was the yeshiva of Shem Be'Aver, the Beit Din. She should have gone there. Okay, now again, alternatively, you could say, this is just a proof text, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be exactly equal. And also, if you notice... The din itself, hamosir din al chaveru hu ne'enash tchila, okay, here the kavanah is the din teshamayim, there it didn't say anything about, right, hanimile dit le dina ba'ara, that came later, and maybe that was a later development. In other words, there was this halacha, and then the mepharshim said, well, by the way, it's only if, because they wanted to kind of say what? They were dealing with the fact that, what do you mean, if you say this, it means you can't ever take your friend to court? So they're saying, no. When there's a court, then you're obligated to take your friend to court. You can't take it straight to Shemayim. But what, I'm sorry, I said it wrong. If there is no court, they had to grapple with that. In other words, what if you have no court? Then you have nowhere to go. Right? Maybe the time they said the first halacha, there were clearly courts and they weren't even thinking of that option. But then later they said, what do you mean? What if there's no court? Or alternatively, some of them refresh them say, it's not just if there's no court. What if the court judges incorrectly? Like what if it's a corrupt court? There are courts, but they're corrupt. Or there are courts, but but the guy doesn't listen to what the court says. So then they had to grapple with that and say, well, then where are you left? If you can't go to God, then you're stuck. So that's why they said, so it's only when there's a good place to judge you on this earth, then you have to go to this world. If not, then you could take a klapei shmayim. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, oilo latzoek yoter min anitzak. Okay, this is along the same lines. Those who cry out are worse than that one who was cried for, right? The one who caused the problems. Tanya Nami Achi, Echad Atzoek V'Echad Anitzak B'Mashma. Here's another source that supports it from a Braita. Both the Tzoek and the Nitzak, right, are worthy of Right? The guy who wronged him is obviously in the wrong. But the guy who starts complaining about it is also included in this. Ela shemim maharim latzoek yoter min hanitzak. Okay, this is the same as what we saw about Sarah. In other words, the one who complains gets the punishment first. Okay? And this is really, it's obvious that the one who causes the problems is responsible. The chidush of this whole thing is that don't go tattletaling, you know, complaining. Don't start bringing up all your issues to everybody. And here, specifically, it's saying also straight to Shamayim. It's an interesting tefisa, by the way. It's like some people think all the world is between them and God, right? They're so, it's on the one hand, you want to feel that God is so much in your presence that you feel like you can take things to God. But what this is saying is, things that are in this world, you have to deal with in this world. God is not there to deal with your everyday arguments with people. And that's how I read this source. Okay, next. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Lo'olam alti klalat hedyot kala be'enecha. Don't take lightly the curse of a regular guy. And here it's even, you know, a little derogatory, the hedyot. Hedyot is generally right, not someone special. Here it's kind of saying, even Avimelech, who has sinned, we're going to see. Shaharei Avimelech kilel et Sarah v'nitkayem bizara. Avimelech cursed Sarah, and the curse became true to her children. How do we see this? Or her child. Shene'emar, hinehu lechak sut enayim. Okay, when he parts with her, he says, I'm going to give you all this wealth, and it will be for you sut enayim. What's the pshat? It sounds like what they're saying is, it's going to cover the eyes of other people, because what happened with Avimelech? Remember when Sarai went down to Mitzrayim? Right, she looks so beautiful. So sut enayim is going to cover up people's eyes, that they won't see your beauty, and or they'll realize, they'll see that I had to send you with all this wealth to finish up the you know, to close things up, and they're going to say, oh, lo shaveh for us to do this. So it's going to kind of cover you from people seeing you. But what? How do they understand this in the drash? What's sut enayim? Your eyes will be covered. What does that mean? You'll be blind. What happens to Yitzchak? Right? Amar la ho il v'kisit mimeni v'lo gilit, because you hid from me and didn't reveal who you were, shu ishech, b'garam te'lai atzar hazeh, and you caused me all this pain, yihi ratzon shiulach banai kisuyei enayim. Okay, that your children will be, they won't be able to see, v'nitkayem b'zara, and this happened in her child, d'chti v'ya kizakein yitzchak v'techene enayim mirot. Amar Rabbi Avau, Lo'olam yehe adam min anir dafim. Last comment in this whole series. Lo'olam yehe adam min anir dafim ve'lo min harodfim. Better to be the animal who gets attacked rather than to be the predator. Okay? Always better to be the one who gets attacked rather than the one who's attacking. She'en lecha nirdaf ba'ofot, which is, right, it's not the same idea. It's like a play on the, so eik ma'asher le'nitzak, right? Always better to be the one who got, you know, who caused the trouble rather than, right, which is obviously a little counterintuitive, rather than the one who's complaining about it, right? They're trying to stress that. Now they're trying to say the predators are not so great. She'en lecha nirdaf ba'ofot yoter mitorim ubnei yonah. They're the ones who are the most attacked by other animal, by other birds, the torim and the bnei yonah, v'chshiran ha'katuv l'gabei mizbeach. And they're the ones that your dafka is supposed to bring for a korban. So it shows how important that is. Okay, now we're going to go back to the Mishnah, which was talking about if somebody says, Sama et eini, somebody says, go blind me. So what do we say about this? Okay, if you say, Sama et eini, al minat liftor, go blind me, and you'll be patur. Okay, so what is the halacha? The halacha is, you're chayav. Okay, there's a very interesting, there's all sorts of interesting nafkaminas about this. There's a machloket about whether we understand this as meaning, it's because when you say, blind me, but and I'll exempt you from payment, you don't really mean it, okay? Which means, if that's the reason, what if it's clear that you really did mean it, right? This goes back to Nidarim. What did you mean when you said this, right? So the assumption of that opinion is, when you said that, you didn't really mean it, okay? But if somehow you made it 100% clear that you didn't want, you really wanted him to blind you, and you were going to exempt him, then you would actually be, he would actually be patur. The other opinion says, no one would ever do such a thing. In other words, it's not possible. No one would ever say, blind me and I'll exempt you. It's not possible. Okay? There's all sorts of interesting questions that come up. What about if you go into a boxing match? Okay? So you're clearly saying, punch me in the eye, and I'm not going to, right? I'm going to exempt you. Like, if you're going into a boxing match, you know that someone might blind you, someone might break your arm. So the post can actually say that you're right. The guy is patur in a boxing match. Okay, there's other nafkaminas. What if you took a loan and said, if I don't pay you back, you could put me in jail? And then you don't pay him back and you say, I'm going to pay you in a month. You know, can he put you in jail? Like, did you really mean it? Right? And this is, again, who in their right mind would say, I'll go to jail? Right? No one would do that for not paying a loan. You know, so there's all different nafkaminas about this this issue. So anyway, the Mishnah had said, if you say blind me and I'll patur you, you're not patur, you're not patur, you're chayav. But if you say rip my clothes and I'll patur you, then you are patur. Okay? Because the assumption is there's a difference, and that's exactly what we're going to ask now. Amalei Rav Asi bar Chama l'Rava, Maishna Reisha or Maishna Seifa? Why do we say that when it comes to your goof, you're not patur, but when it comes to your kelim, you are patur? Amar lei reisha lefi she'ein adam mochel al rashei evarim. Okay, so comes Rav and he says, okay, we can look at the first chart on the page. He says the reason is that people are not mochel al rashei evarim. When you're talking about major body parts that are critical body parts, no one would ever say, oh yeah, go beat me up, go and break my arm. So Amar lei, so he says back to Rav Asi, says back to him, right, because he Rabbi answered the question, and Rav Asi says back to him, v'chi adam mochel al tza'aro. The assumption of this Mishnah is that it's only if you say smateini, and as the Rashei Varim. And that's what Rav said. But now he's going to say, so what are you saying? If someone says, punch me in the face, right, and just, you know, give me a slap in the face, and, you know, I don't know, you'll be bleeding, have a big buck and bull mark, or something like that, you are mochel? Like, it doesn't make any sense to say that, right? And that's what you're saying. Titania, and it says in a braita, hikani, ptsa'ani, amanat liktor, patur. And it says that if you say, right, now that your logic doesn't hold up with this braita. Because this braita says, if you say, hit me, injure me, right, which doesn't mean barashay marim, some other part of my body that's not going to be a critical part, you're not breaking someone's leg or something like that. So amanat liktor, and you say amanat liktor, you are actually exempt. So he says to him, if your whole thing is that the issue is a person's not mochel, well, a person's not mochel on tsa'ar, you know, pain for an injury either. And how could you therefore say you'd be patur, you should be chayav, just like in our Mishnah? And notice, our Mishnah distinguishes between body and objects, right? You know, possessions, I would say. But now we're going to see that the braita puts body, right, when it comes to body that's, you know, not Rashei Varim, okay, in the category of objects. So he's saying your logic of saying they all have to do with is an Adam Mochel or not doesn't hold up because no one will be Mochel on their body at all. Not even Rashei Varim. Now, ultimately, we're going to see that Rava does hold that there's a distinction. In other words, I don't care if you slap me in the face or give me a black eye, but I do care if you blind me. Okay? And that's what we're going to have to answer. But right now, Rava doesn't have an answer. So, ishtik.
But we do have that distinction. Like, for example, if you have a Kanani, if you do those 24 Ivarim, he goes free, whereas the others...
Right. We distinguish with it in terms of, right, in terms of he goes free and doesn't go free with the other Kanani. However, what the question that Rav Asi is asking is, when it comes to your own personal, how do you feel about this injury? Would you let someone injure you and say, I'll exempt you?
No, I understand.
Right,
we've
we've definitely seen this distinction before. Yes,
that's what I'm saying.
Exactly, we've seen this distinction before with the Eved Kanani. The question here is, when you think in the world of Mechila, that's what your distinction is. He's not disagreeing that there's a distinction. The distinction exists. The question is, if the answer, if the reasoning behind it is Mechila, it doesn't seem to jive according to Rav Asi. Now, you could still explain that it does jive. Yeah, Nadam could be Mochel on one and not on the other, but Rav Asi doesn't like it, and Rav doesn't really have a good answer. Ishtik. So now Rav says, Amr, midi shmiel achbaha? Did you ever hear anything about this? You have an answer? You have a better answer? Amr lei, hachi amr, sheshe mishum pgam mishpacha. And he says something very interesting. The reason why you can't patur someone from injuring your body is because it's a pgam mishpacha. It's an embarrassment to the family to have a son who's blind, or with a broken arm, or a broken leg. Then it becomes, you can be mochel on things that relate to your own self, but you can't be mochel on things that relate to other people. the family. Okay, that's the general. There's another way of reading it. I'm not going to get into the details because we don't have a lot of time. But anyway, that's one of the readings. But it's Gam Mishpacha, that there's no ability to be mochel on something that doesn't have to do with you. Your family, not you. Itmar Rav Shai Amar, and there's no Gam Mishpacha, you know, you get slapped in the face, you have a black eye. That's not, you know, it's not a permanent Gam Mishpacha. Itmar Rav Yoshai Omer Mishum Gam Amar Mishum Gam Mishpacha. Okay, then they quoted also in the name of Rav Yoshai that that's the issue. Rava Amar Mishum Shein Adam Ochel Arashei Varim Shelo. Okay, and then, right, so the Itmar is, there's a machloga between Rav Yoshai and Rava, which is going to match what Rava says here versus what Ravasi says in the, you know, also. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, now Rabbi Yochanan's going to say here, there's something you can learn from here, the Yesh Hen Shehu Kala, the Yesh Lav Shehu Kehen. Sometimes someone says yes and it means no, and sometimes someone says no and it means yes. And this all has to do with your tone. Are you asking as a question, as an answer? So here he says, Tanya Namihachi, there's a brayta that supports this, and there's a chart here where I mapped it all out. Who says what? Hikani Ptsa'ani, okay, so one guy says, the Nizak, right, the guy who's going to get damaged, says, hit me, injure me. The guy who's going to injure him says, Amanat Liktor, are you going to exempt me? Vamarlo, and the Nizak says to him, Hain. Okay, but what he says is, Hain, what are you joking? Like, yeah, really? You think I'm going to exempt you? So here we have, Hareyesh Hain Shu Kalav, and this is how he understands the case of the Mishnah. In other words, there's sometimes when you say yes, when you really mean no. Okay, and that's why you're not going to be exempt. But Kraik Suti, what if he says, rip my clothes, and then the mazik says, the damager says, Amanat Liktor, you're going to exempt me. Vamar lo, and he says, no, like, you know, no, like, of course, if I just asked you to rip it, obviously I'm going to exempt you. So, hare lav shu kehen, okay? And that's why, I'm sorry, I said that wrong, right? Are you going to exempt me? And he says, no, what he really means, right, he really means, yes, I'm going to exempt you, okay? And then you'd be patur, okay? So, depending, right, so that's how he reads the Mishnah. You're Dafka Patur in that case because he really did mean it. Okay. Shvoret Kadi Krat Suti Chayav. So now, going back to the Mishnah, we're going to now bring a contradiction to a Braita. Uriminhi, Lishmor Velo La'aved, Lishmor Velo L'kra, Lishmor Velo L'chalek La'aniim. When we have Dinei Shmira, what is Shmira? Why are we bringing up Shmira here? Because somebody gives you their object to destroy, right? As opposed to someone giving you their object to watch. Now, if someone gives you their object to watch, then you're responsible for it. So now the Gemara, the Bright has a distinct, a limu. What does it say? Lishmor means to watch. But if someone gives it to you, la'abed, to destroy, you're not responsible. To rip, you're not responsible. They give it to you to distribute to poor people, you're not responsible. We'll get to the poor people soon. Whereas, if you say shvorat kadi, what do we say? Right? Krak suti, you are going to be chayav. This is in the case where you didn't say amanat liktor. Right? So, you are chayav if someone says, break my kad. So now, why are you chayav? We just learned that you're only chayav when he gave it to you lishmor, but if he gave it to you to destroy, then you're not responsible for it. So Amar Rav Huna lo kashya, hada ateliade, hada lo ateliade. So what does he say? Again, I charted it out here. In the Mishnah, it was a case where he gave him the object, and then he said, I want you to destroy it, right? But once he gives it to him, right, he says, I'm giving you this to watch, but you can destroy it. Once he gives it to him, he already became a shomer, okay? But the other case in the Braita, where it said he's not responsible, is a case where he said, go take my item, and if you want, you can rip it. But he didn't actually have it yet. He wasn't moser as a shomer. By the time he got the item, he had both options in front of him, and therefore he's not responsible. That's one interpretation. But Amar LeRabba, Rabba doesn't like this. He says, Lishmor da'ate liyade mashma. When it says Lishmor in that Braita, when it's talking about the second case, it sounds like you're giving it to him Lishmor, not La'abed. It sounds like the case is where he became a shomer in it. You gave it to him Lishmor. So therefore, he doesn't like that distinction. So El Amar Rabba, Hava ha'da'ate liyade. Both cases are where he actually got it b'torat shmira. I jumped the gun. Both cases are cases where he gave him the object, but lokashya hada ati liyade b'torat shmira, hada ati liyade b'torat kriya. In other words, one is where he gives him the item to actually watch it, and the other is, it's not like he says, here are both your options. He says, I'm giving you this item to rip. Okay, in which case, then he's not responsible. Hahu arnaka didstaka. Now we're going to get to this stuck up tour case. There was an arnak, a wallet full of money that came to Pumbedita, to the Pumbedita. Efkede Rav Yosef gabehu gavra. Rav Yosef gave it to somebody to watch, to be in charge of. Pashaba, he wasn't responsible enough about it. Atu ganve ganvuha. Now what would you think here? What would we say according to what we just said? Lishmor v'lo l'chalek l'aniim, that you'd be patur. But what happened here? Chai ve'Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef made him responsible. So Amalei Abaye says, what are you doing, Rav Yosef? Aha Tanya, remember we always have this thing, Abaye always questions Rav Yosef's psak, right? Sometimes he also says, you forgot some halacha. In this case, it's not going to be the case. Rav Yosef's going to end up with a good answer. Aha Tanya, lishmor v'lo l'chalek l'aniim. Doesn't it say in a braita that you're patur? Why were you machayek? Amalei, aniyeta pubedita mekatz kayetz lehu v'lishmorhu. Aniyim and pubedita are different because they each get a set amount of tzedakah, and therefore it's considered like a shomer. Okay, so now we're going to have two ways to understand this gemara. Okay, the first is Rabbi Yonatan Milunil says, you have to understand first why there's a patur, and then you can understand why the people of pubedita were different. So he explains the reason for the patur is because no one can claim it. When you have a shomer, so someone gave you something to watch, and then if you don't watch it properly, he's going to come and say, you didn't watch my item. In this case, someone, right, you have the money for tzedakah. Who's going to come claim, right? Who's going to say, oh, that's my money? Nobody has a way to get the money. But if it's mekatz kayitz lehu, if everybody gets, let's say it was 100 shekel, and everybody gets 10 shekel, let's say there's 10 aniyim in the city, and each gets 10 shekel, well, then each one has a claim to 10 shekel of that money, and therefore he's chayav. Whereas in a regular case, you get money, and whoever comes, you give it out. Nobody can come and say, oh, that money was mine. That's one. Another way is the Rama. He says that the money, what's the issue with stucca money? You always have to have it accessible, because someone might come, and you might need to give them the money right away. So you can't, what do you normally do with money if you're watching it? In our day, we put it in a bank, right? If you have the money in a bank account, well, you're not going to have easy access to the money. You need to have easy access to the money. So in those days, they used to bury it. So again, you're not going to bury it if you need to get to the money often. In Mechatz Kayetz Lehu, we say there was like a particular time you would give out the money to everybody. So you could actually, while before you were giving out the money, you could hide it. And then at that given moment, you would give it out to everybody, you would take it out. So it's not like you have to have the money on hand at any moment. So either which way we've answered the question, it's just two ways of understanding it, depending on how you understand why someone would be patur from L'chalek L'aniyim. Okay. Hazran Alach HaChovel. Now we're moving on to Perek HaGozel. Okay, there's two Perek HaGozel. So this one's called Perek HaGozel Kama, the first one. And the next one's going to be called Perek HaGozel Vatra. Okay, that's the way we're going to distinguish them. Okay, HaGozel Eitzim Vasa. Now we're going to get back to things that we didn't get to learn together, so it's good we'll learn them now, about Shinoi. If you have an object and you do something to that object, it changes, right? It becomes yours. You become an owner of the object, okay? So now, Hagozel Eitzim Ba'asan Kelim. You stole Eitzim, and the Mepharshim say it's the same for Gezela and the same for Geneva. Okay, there's distinctions came up in the sixth paragraph between Geneva and Gezela. In this case, it's all the same. Okay, this comes from the Pasuk, Beheshivit HaGezela Asher Gazel. You have to return the stolen item that you stole. So now, when do you have to return it? Only if it's, right, it has to be the same item that you stole. So now, if you change the item, what happens? You no longer need to return the item, okay, because it's no longer the same item. However, you have to return the value of the item. But now, what value do you have to return it? So if you're gozel etzim and you turn them into kelim, where you stole tsemer, vasa'am begadim, and you turn them into clothes, mishalem kishata gzela. Okay, you pay for the gazela asher gazal, exactly what it was valued at the time of the robbery. Gazal para me'uberet v'yalda. Now, the first case was a case where you changed the item. What if the item changed itself? You stole a pregnant para, and the para gave birth, v'yalda. Rachel t'una u'gazeza. Okay, you stole a sheep that was full of wool, and then you sheared it. Mishalem d'mei para ha'omedet leiledu d'mei rachel ha'omedet ligazez. Again, it's all mishat ha'gzela. You pay what someone would have paid for a para that was pregnant. Remember, we learned that they were valued more than, right, but they're not valued as much as the para and the vlad, because who knows what will happen, right? It's all a potential. Gazal para v'nit abra etzlo. What if it got pregnant once he stole it. In other words, it wasn't pregnant at the time he stole it, but it got pregnant later. V'yalda. Rachel v'nitana etzlo u'gezaza. Right? It wasn't full at the time, but then the wool grew on the Rachel, and then he sheared it. Mishalem kishata gzela. Okay, same thing. And here, we don't really need this last line, but what does it say? Zeh haklal. Here's the klal of the whole Mishnah. Kol ha-gazalanim mishalim kishat ha-gzela. Okay.
Didn't we have mishalim b'maimad ha-din also?
What was that?
Wasn't there something mishalim b'maimad ha-din?
Yes, we had that with certain things about the... Yeah, yeah. So in this case, when it comes to gzela, this is a unique halacha because it says, Shivat ha-gzela asher gazal. So therefore, we learn it at the moment that he stole it. Okay? Right, so then the Mefreshim talk about, this is an interesting issue, that if you change the item, so we could say, okay, so you therefore affected a kinyan on the item at the moment you changed it. But if it changed by itself, in other words, it had a baby, right? So you didn't do anything, so how could you possibly have acquired it at that point? Right? The whole understanding here is that you've acquired this. Once it changes, a shinoi is kone. So how could you have acquired it? So they therefore say it must be that you had some sort, at that moment that it changed, the kinyan goes back to the moment where you took it out of the guy's house, out of the guy's property. In other words,
it's a retroactive.
So then the question, okay, we'll get to that in 1 second, but basically you now, right, the animal gives birth, let's say, and then you would say the same thing even if you change the item. You acquire it at that moment, but the real, right, the original, it's like relying on the kinyan that you did at the time when you stole it, which sort of didn't go into effect, right? It's almost like you did an act that later is going to turn out that was your kinyan, okay? Only when you change it. Right? When you steal something, you can't possibly acquire it. It's not yours. But as soon as you do some change to it, it becomes yours. And then what belongs to the first guy? Not the item, but the value. That's what's going on here. Now, it's obviously you can never acquire it to the extent that you don't have to return anything to the original owner. But the point is that the act that you did when you stole it can be like a pseudo-kinyan. It started it. It started the clock ticking so that if something happens down the road, it turns out that was really when you acquired it. And then there's a difference of opinion about, there's a question about, does it mean that it retroactively goes back and you were actually kone at the time that you stole? Or does it just mean that opened the door for you now at the moment of the shinoi? That's your moment of kinyan. It's just it was kind of helped along by the fact that you stole it originally, and that allowed you to make the kinyan. So this difference of opinion about do we say it actually goes retroactive, like Aviva said, or is it that first moment helped you to now when the shinoi happened, that means you now have a kinyan, but not that the kinyan goes retroactively. So there's different ways of understanding it. Okay, so now we're going to derive something from the Mishnah. Amre etzim ma'asa'an kelim in, shifan lo. What do you do when you take a wooden board and you turn it into a kli? What's the assumption? First you start shaving it, right, and changing the shape of it to make it fit wherever you're going to build it, and then you turn it into a kli. So notice, what stage did our Mishnah say you were kone? The stage of making it a kli, but not the earlier stage of sanding it down and changing its shape. Tzemer, v'asam begadim, same thing with the tzemer. When you turn it into clothes, but livnan, lo. But when you bleach it, right, because remember, you take the color and you dye, you bleach it, you clean it out, okay, which is the first stage to turning it into a kli, is not a shinoi, right? That's not enough of a shinoi, lo. Okay? Now, this all sounds very logical. However, they're going to say, this contradicts another Braita. Okay, we're going to have a lot of contradictions between Mishnahs and Braitas and Braitas and Braitas. Okay, well, Braitas and Braitas, Mishnah and Mishnahs. Okay, I charted them all out here to make it easier. So the assumption of our Mishnah is, if it would have been enough to have a shinoi masa at the time you were sanding it and shaping it or turning the right, cleaning the clothes, then it would have said that stage in our Mishnah and not a later stage. But Uriminhi, that contradicts a braita that says, Gazal etzim b'shifan, avanim b'sititan, semer v'livnan, pishtan v'nikahu, okay? Trees and you sanded them. Yeah, wood and you sanded it. Rocks and you smoothed them out. Semer and you, wool and you washed it. Pishtan, flax and you cleaned it. Mishalem kishat hagzela. here it says that that stage is enough to say you're changing it, and therefore you are Koneh. So why did our Mishnah not bring the earlier stage? So now we're going to see that it's not really true what I said, that that's an earlier stage of building a kli. You could do a kli, and you could make begadim without that stage. Okay, and therefore, okay, and we're going to see a few different opinions here, but Amar Abaye, Tana Didan Katani Shinoi de Rabbana. Our Mishnah was talking about a shinoi that's only considered a shinoi on a derabanan level. Why? What makes a shinoi on a derabanan level? Dehadra, because it's a shinoi that can be returned to its original state. The kol shekein shinoi d'oraita. And obviously a shinoi d'oraita would be, meaning that instead of saying the earlier stage would be the libun and the earlier stage, right, and the earlier stage would be the shiuf, no. That could be a different stage. In other words, the less obvious is the begadim and the keli. And now we're going to have to say, because what the Mishnah is referring to is not any regular begad or any regular kli, where you originally, you know, you first sand it, shape it, etc. But what's the case here? Etzim ba'asan kelim, be'etzim mishupin, it's talking about etzim that were already sanded, that you stole. Uman yinu, and what did you do then? Nisarim. As you took them, right, they were nisarim already, and deshino dehadra lebriyato, Dibai Mishlaf Lahu, what did you do? You took beams that were already, pieces of wood that were already in the right shape, and you just stuck them together to make a chair, a table, right? You took a wooden board and you put some wooden boards as legs, and there's your table. You can easily take it apart. You didn't do anything to actually change it. And those are the cases our Mishnah is talking about. And the chidush is this is only a shinoi midrabanan, and even a shinoi midrabanan is enough to consider that it was Koneh. Okay, that's a biased understanding. Samer v'asam begadim. So what about the Samer case? How does he understand that one? Same type of thing. But Samer tavoy, it was Samer that was already woven into string. Okay? Deshinoi dehadu lebriato, dibai satra le, right? You knitted a, right? Here's Razel. You knitted a sweater, and then you just pull the whole thing out, and then you're back to your string. In other words, that's it. Shinoi derabban. Okay. So now, v'tane bara, and the tana of the braita, shinoi d'oraita katane v'shinoi d'rabanan lo katane. In other words, the tana of the braita thought that only a shinoi d'oraita is kone and not shinoi d'rabanan, and that's why it brought up shinoi d'oraita. Ravashi amar, he has a different reason. Tana didan nami shinoi d'oraita katane. He says, that's crazy. No, our Mishnah was also talking about shinoi d'oraita. And it's also a case of a shinoi that's eno chozer lebriato. It doesn't go back to its original state. But what's the case? Etzim basan kelim buchni. Dehainu shifan. Ah, they're actually talking about the same thing. They're not disagreeing. Because what's the case? It's where you created the pestle, the mortar and pestle. So what did you do? It's like you had to make a stick, right, to kind of grind the things. So how do you do that? You take a wooden beam and you carve it away and you sand it, right? So that's exactly the same thing as saying shifan. It's the same thing. Samer vasam begadim. Here it's not going to be exactly the same, but it's going to be similar, like a similar stage. Namte. What's namte? You cut it into pieces of felt. Okay, you made it into pieces of felt. Dehainu shino de lo hadar. Okay, it's the same as shino shelo chozer. It's the same thing as washing it. In other words, it's the same type of stage, the same level. In which case, the Mishnah and the Braita don't contradict at all. They're talking about the same thing, right? The first answer was they're talking about two different things, derabanan and d'oraita, and they disagree. But the next one is, no, they're talking about the same exact thing. Okay, now according to this, what are we assuming? That libun is a shinoi, right? According to this, the Braita, and according to, let's say, Ravashi's understanding of the Mishnah even, that by doing libun, although our mission certainly doesn't relate to libun, so I would say it's more the braita. By doing libun, what are we saying? It's a shinoi. So now they're going to say, but libun miyad is shinoi. Wait, that contradicts another source that we have where it says libun isn't a shinoi. Urimini, lo ispik li tno ad she tzva'o patur. Livno velo tzva'o chayav. Okay, what are we talking about here? This is a braita about reshitages. Okay, that means you're supposed to take the first of your shearings and give them to the Kohen. And in order to do this, it's about the amount of 5 sheep, okay, 5 rechilim. That's the amount that you're chayav. If it's less than that, you're not chayav. What if you had this amount, okay, less than this amount, livno velotzvao, you washed it, but you, I'm sorry, one second, am I jumping to this, one second, I think I'm jumping, I think this is the issue, it is, one second. No, it is, okay, no. Yeah, machine or a minute. Did I?
Lois speak
Lois to know, though. Right, that was, sorry. Did I skip something? Is that why
no,
I got
that's where you're up to.
Okay.
You were skipping to the next one.
Ah, I see.
Dying.
Okay, so you're right. That was where I got myself. I was thinking something didn't sound right. Okay. So, libo mi abishino yiraminu. Lois speak litnolo adshetzvao. Okay? He didn't yet give it to the Kohen. And he before he gives it to the Kohen, he already colored it. Livno velotzvao. Okay, so I'm sorry. So then he's patur. In other words, if first he colored it before he actually gave it to the Kohen, then he doesn't have to give it to the Kohen. But livno velotzvao. But if he only does the libun stage, he only washes it, then he's chayav. So what does it sound like? It sounds like libun is not a shinoi. So Amar Abaye, lo kasha harabi shimon harabanan. Now this, by the way, means that he colored it, and it wasn't enough. In other words, what happens? You take one sheep, you shear the sheep, and then what do? You color it. Then you take the next sheep, you shear it, and you color it. So at this point, you've changed each item so they can't all be mitzarev to one measurement. So you were never mitzarev. It's a good way to get out of it, right? You were never mitzarev, right? We all know all these loopholes in halacha. You were never mitzarev in Rishit HaGez. So now, but what if you took one sheep and then you washed it, and then you took the next sheep and you washed it? That's not considered shino. So wait a minute. We just said shino is shino. So first answer is Amar Bai Lo Kasha Haru Shimon Haru Banan. There's a machloket about this. How do we know there's a machloket? Titania, the Brita says, Gazizot va'ova argo ein mitzaref. If you sheared it, spun it into thread, embroidered it, then clearly it's ein mitzaref. Okay, you took one, you did all those steps to it. They're not mitzaref anymore. Clearly you've changed it. But livno, exactly our case. What if you washed it? There's a machloket. Rabbi Shimon Omer, ein mitzaref. It's actually a shinui, and they're not mitzaref, therefore. The chachamim omer mitzaref. So how does it line up? Right, look at your chart, you can see. Okay, we're on the second to last chart on the page. Right, so then where it said, gazal etzi b'shifan, avani b'sititan, the brighter we brought in before, libnan, mishalem kshat gazela, it's a shinui. That matches Rabbi Shimon here, who says that if you wash it after shearing the sheep, then it's not mitzaref anymore. You've done a shinoi. And the Mishnah Chulin would be according to Rabbanan. Okay? That was the source we quoted was a Mishnah Chulin. Rava Amar, Rava doesn't take that answer. What does he say? We're going to have three answers here. Hava ha Rabbi Shimon. You can say they're both a Libid Rabbi Shimon, which is kind of strange. Why wouldn't you say they're both a Libid Chachamim? Okay, better off always to say it's like the regular general Shita, not the Shita Yechid. But lo kasha, ha de nafse niputze, ha de sarke sruke. It's different stages of cleaning it. One is that you just separated out the threads and cleaned out between them. That's a much lesser stage, and that's what the Mishnah Chulin was talking about, where it's not a shinoi. And the other is where you actually combed it through. And once you comb it, that already, it looks different, and it's a shinoi. Okay, so they're two different stages. Where he could have said this was also a libid chachamim, therefore it's a little strange, he says Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Chiya bar Avin Amar, had chavre chivure, he gives different types of cleaning methods, but had chavre kavruye. Okay, one is where you wash it out like with water, and one is where you bleached it. Okay, so there's a difference between this, what kind of washing you did. Okay, so now, according to this, we're going to say, hashiyesh lomar, according to this, anything we've said here, Sava la Rabbi Shimon lo havishinoi. Libun havishinoi. We don't yet know where this is going. We're going to see in a minute. They're saying that if you color it to Rabbi Shimon, it's not a shinoi. We don't know yet where we know this from. We're going to see in a minute. Okay? But Libun is a shinoi. And does it make sense to say that Libun, according to this, we've established that Rabbi Shimon holds Libun is a shinoi. So according to this, what are we going to say? If Libun is a shinoi, but Tzava is not a shinoi, how could that possibly be? So how do we know that Tzava is not a shinoi for Rabbi Shimon? Titania, Gazaz Rishon Rishon Utzvao, Rishon Rishon Utzvao, Rishon Rishon Va'arago, and as you took each one and you colored it, or you weaved it, you made the threads, or you weaved it, Ein Mitztaref. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehudim, Omer Mishum Rabbi Shimon, Tzvao Mitztaref. Here, Rabbi Shimon is quoting the name of Rabbi Shimon bar Yehuda. What does he say? That if you colored it, it is mitzaref, which means it's not a shinoi. So how could you say The Rabbi Shimon holds that coloring is not a shinoi, but libun is. Seems so strange, right? You would assume, first you wash it, then you color it. So the washing would be less of a change than the shinoi. So Amar Abai, lo kasha. We're going to have two different answers, and we'll end with this for today. Ha Rabbanan alibi de Rabbi Shimon? Ha Rabbi Shimon yuhud alibi de Rabbi Shimon? In other words, there were two understandings of what Rabbi Shimon held. So when we said that libun is a shinoi, we're going to say, oh, that's the way Chachamim understood Rabbi Shimon. Chachamim thought that Rabbi Shimon held that libun was a shinoi. But Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda said, Rabbi Shimon holds that Tzava is not a shinoi, and neither is libun. Follow? And then they won't contradict. It's just two different Tanaim's understanding of Rabbi Shimon. Rav Amar, lo lam lo plige Rabbanan alei de Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda. They don't disagree about how they understand Rabbi Shimon himself. We can make a distinction between libun and tzeva. Shanei tzeva ho'il v'yachol ha'biro l'hidei tzvon. Now we go back to where we started. There's a difference between a shinui ha'chozir l'briyato and a shinui she'eno chozir l'briyato. And coloring it, you can actually remove the color. Whereas cleaning it is an irreversible process. Okay, in the cleaning process, right, it's not just to make it clean, you can make it dirty again, right? But you've changed it in a way that it can't go back to what it was. But wait, that doesn't make any sense. What did we say about tzeva? Remember we learned before? Lo ispik litno ad shetzva'o, you're patur from Rishit Agez. Remember? You changed it. Everyone said, and everyone agreed with that. That wasn't Talu b'machloket. That was the Mishnah in Chulin. Sorry that we're jumping, but we keep comparing. Right? This was a Braita. Now we're comparing it to the Mishnah in Chulin. And the Mishnah in Chulin said, it is a shinoi l'divrei akol. So what do we say? Ukimna k'divrei akol bekale ilan delo avar. There's some type of dyeing that can never change. And what's that? This is Kali Ilan. It's a indigo. Okay, the tzeva, the color of indigo, that's what they use that for the tchelet. That is such a strong dye that it can't go back. Okay? Okay, we'll stop here. Tomorrow we're going to get to the typical, we've seen this before, where we give a whole list of rabbis that said different statements and different things, and they all in the end agree about their perception of shinoi. Okay, whether it's kone, it's not kone, okay, we're gonna see that tomorrow, and then we're gonna have to say, right, where do you see this guy says it, where do you see that guy says it? It's gonna be a collection of different opinions, which, by the way, we've seen in a bunch of things where there's a major issue, and then they try to collect all different people who've made comments on this issue in different contexts, and they want to kind of bring it all together. Say they're all saying the same thing.